Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Season starts on Friday. I got no friends, and I pretty much have no voice the way things are shaking out, and I'm loving the scenics. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike, live from Los Angeles, actually LAPC, ESPN Studios, downtown LA, and also Michael Jr. live from Arizona. Is that the scenics of Arizona, Jr.?
That is the Valley of the Sun right there, Janae. That is beautiful Arizona. I'm not sure that was Phoenix or Scottsdale, maybe closer to Glendale where the Cardinals play. It's kind of weird because it's University of Phoenix Stadium, but it's in Glendale. So, oh man, we got the resume out for
Janae
today,
too. I want to see yours. Two-time WNBA All-Star, 2014 WNBA Rookie of the Year, three-time All-American at Stanford.
Academic
All-American. Mike Golic Jr. So, like, you've got
please don't
that,
do this
okay?
to me. Please don't do this to me.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, it's crazy because Anthony Davis is back and then finally looking better than ever, and he's making waves. And the king, LeBron James, is very close to now. He's not going to play against the Knicks. I know a lot of New York fans are like, yeah, he doesn't want the smoke. But realistically, he's way smarter because it was just reported by our own ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and also Dave McMenamin that LeBron James is targeting a return Wednesday against the Houston Rockets. So we will have a conversation about the NBA MVP MVP, where it stands, because I think the votes should be happening like now-ish. And I also think I should have a vote, by the way. But we'll get to that.
I'm gonna say, how do you not have a vote at this point right now? Like, you are the perfect person to have a vote. You are both in it and out of it the same damn time.
I'm the worst person to have a vote because it'd be like, yeah, Dame, just go Dame. Like, I'll go by my friends. No, you know I'll do it fair, but we can talk about that in about 10 minutes because Junior, right now, it's really interesting that we had the Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers conversation on load management. I might feel like we need this Tim Tebow conversation on load management as well, because it has taken like a sharp turn left. And after the Jacksonville Jaguars announced that they are likely expected to sign Tim Tebow at tight end, a lot of people had thoughts. Even Marcus Spears, who joined us not too long ago, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Jeff Darlington, our own ESPN NFL insider, he joined Get Up and said that pretty much in Jacksonville, after the news of Tim Tebow being a tight end for this team, it sort of made the block, in my words, very hot, or at least said the signing is creating a real difficult situation.
There's a serious disagreement within the building about the idea of Urban Meyer signing Tim Tebow. There are coaches on that staff who don't want to see it happen. And, you know, there are also, in the same breath, those who are saying, to Booger's point, it's not that big of a deal. Look, he's probably not going to be on the roster week one, to which you would say, well, then why do it at all? I think that Booger makes some really good points there. But it is just also important to remember, beyond the emotional side of this, beyond the wonders of why, is just the reality that it's really not practical. It's not likely to work, and it doesn't necessarily. Urban Meyer, I think, would say, well, hey, I'm going to add anybody to my team who has the potential to better this organization, to which you could look at this and say, well, how is this going to better the organization? There's just really not very much upside at all, to be quite honest.
Janae, I actually am sitting here and thinking about it, because we've talked a lot about this today. I was on Highly Questionable earlier, and everyone's made the point, and I think rightly so. This isn't really about Tim. Like, Tim Tebow's allowed to want to do whatever he wants. Like, that's all of us in life. We want to pursue certain things. We have goals and dreams. Like, go after it. But not everyone has to give you the opportunity to do that. A lot of this goes back to who is giving him the opportunity and why. And is Urban Meyer, his former head coach at Florida, being the one? It seems to be a one-man decision in this process that he thinks, all right, this is something I'd like to do. It makes me think from a team perspective of David Blatt and his time in Cleveland. Because we remember, he came over with a lot of respect, playing, you know, coaching internationally, what he brought to that. And there was a lot of friction in that locker room through the course of a successful season of guys basically saying, yeah, we know you've done it over there, but this is a different league. This is the best professional basketball league on planet Earth. And for Urban Meyer now walking out of college, is one of the greatest college coaches, I think, in the sports history, certainly in my lifetime, like in that top three. He's walking into an NFL locker room now where even on a younger roster, you're dealing with pros across the board, and that perception is you've got to come in just as much as you need players to buy in. You also got to buy into what this game expects to you. And Chiney, the decision-making we've seen from Urban Meyer since going back to this like summer when he got the job has so far sent an inconsistent message, I think, to the rest of that locker room about what they're going to get in a coach making this transition.
Yeah, and I think it's hard. It's hard for a coach to realize that you have to relinquish control when you're at the professional ranks, no matter how talented you are. Because at the end of the day, at the pros, the players run it. Like, the players at times are bigger than the team when I'm talking about a brand perspective, which allows them to exert their influence in ways that you could never see in college. And, you know, Junior, you brought it to, you know, the last few months, and we've seen maybe another instance in which Urban Meyer made a decision where he said he had approval and that turned out to not be the best scenario for him. And then now, again, there's a decision for Tim Tebow to join the team as a tight end. And it seems like it's ruffling a lot of the feathers, not only, you know, externally amongst analysts and those who know the game and love the game, but also what Jeff Darlington is saying is ruffling feathers internally. Aren't you supposed to be on the same page when you make these decisions? I mean, I'm talking about a day in which this is the last day of training camp, but that means rosters are getting cut for me in the WNBA. And like, you would never want your coach to make a decision without consulting the assistants, the president, you know, all of those parties involved. And I think this Tebow signing is an example of you can't be so firm in what you were, especially when you get to the professional level, because you have to work like a well-oiled machine and everything trickles down. And once one cog is caught, the whole machine breaks down. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter even if it's like, I just like this voice or voice in the locker room. At the end of the day, it's like these pieces all matter equally in professionalism. And I think this, it's just tough because like the other side is like, you want Tim Tebow to do what he wants to do. Like, he's looked like he's been in top shape for like 10 years. I know it's been 8 years since he's been in the NFL. It just is tough to see the other side, the reality of the business.
Yeah, Chiney, the reality of the business is 31 other teams have not given him this opportunity over this period of time, but his former college head coach becomes an NFL head coach, and now this pops up. And what Jeff Darlington said there, what others have insinuated, is it's the seventh tight end on your roster. They're expanded 90-man rosters during the summer for the NFL. How big a deal is this? But when you're starting to build this at the beginning, what's that one thing we always get preached in sports? Like, Chiney, I'm sure you've heard this in some way, shape, or form throughout this training camp, throughout every other training camp in your life. How you do the little things is how you do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we always get that harped on us by coaching staffs, by the people leading these organizations. And so if I'm a player looking in the other direction saying, all right, how you do the little things is how you do everything, we have gotten some between, you brought up the Chris Doyle hire this summer, the strength coach from Iowa that left amidst a lot of controversy there. This signing with Tim Tebow right now, I would say the decision to draft Travis Etienne in the first round was something I at least look at and say, all right, each of these things on their own, I could look the other way on. But at some point, we got to look at process and say, what's consistently getting you to these places? Is it one of those things where some people are going to say, hey, Urban Meyer's had a lot of success everywhere he's been. Think this guy knows how to build a quality program. Others and critics, I think, are understandably, and especially professionals who have been living in this space for a while, going to say, all right, this is a little different business up here. Like, you can't just bring all the people that helped it make it happen for you on one level and expect it to work when you make the jump up. Because, Chiney, you know this. When you're paid to do this at the highest level, those relationships can only take you so far because it's a bottom line business.
Yeah, and you're giving off the perception that it's like you're a one-man show, and that can work until it doesn't. You know, and you want that plan B of, oh no, we really all on the same page. We just find out in the moment who has to step up and lead. And it should not consistently have to be the person that's not on the field doing the work.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Is that works, and that can be a one-person voice. That can work in college when you're the head of the program. But when you're the head of the franchise now and trying to be a part of that, those sound like similar words, but I think there's a lot of differences baked into it that we've already seen with Urban Meyer. All right, coming up next, as we shift back to the NBA, and we look forward towards tonight, LeBron James not going to be in action against the Knicks, but what does this say about the Lakers' plan, and what does this say about the way that LeBron should be approaching this final stretch of the season? We'll tell you next. Chiney Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Chiney Gold Jr., the podcast.
Junior, is this a song of the summer? Peaches, Justin Bieber, or do you have another submission?
You know what, Chinee? I'm going to give it the number one spot right now with an understanding that we've talked about on this show. We got J. Cole getting ready to drop an album. We know that we've got, I think this summer, Drake. We're still have eyes on here. Travis Scott's supposed to hit us. So Bieber's got pole position right now, but...
Hold on. Chinee Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Chinee live right now on ESPN plus Chinee Golick Jr. And we finally got Junior's nice little header. Played zero NFL games. Single 31-year-old. Jorts enthusiast. Wait, this might be the perfect time for you, Junior, to show people what's going on down below on your show. Oh, wait. You actually took a picture.
God. Oh, my God. Are my thighs really that pale?
So I'm confused. You said you're in Arizona and that you're going to be outside and your legs look translucent.
All right, so here's what happened is I work with a bunch of snakes. Like, everyone here, we try and come in every day and preach everybody loves everybody, and yet I stand up here and get slandered. The temerity and the unmitigated gall.
You took that picture.
I did take that picture. I willingly posted it on there. I did not put that resume up there. I understand, and I will rep the zero NFL games played, but 31 and single. Did my mom write that? Because that seemed like a personal attack in a way that I do not appreciate.
She probably did. Junior, I have a question. Do you have, like, a professional light up in that room, or is that, like, are you in the darkness and that's just how you look?
This is just how I look. This is just the natural light of the sun coming
Okay, it's a natural light. Okay, I didn't know because, you know, I thought the sun and the red and all that type of stuff. You didn't even need light. Look at that. You go in the dark. I love it.
Dear God.
We'll get to Mr. Triple-Double, Russell Westbrook conversations with that with our basketball analyst, Monica McNutt, in about 10 minutes. But, you know, we have to start with the big news because we go as LeBron James goes most often. LeBron James returning tomorrow versus the Houston Rockets. A lot of people say, no one's saying this besides our producer, Shannon, that, you know, he didn't want the smoke with the Knicks. but Junior, now seeing that LeBron James is close to being back, and I'm sure he's recharged after seeing Anthony Davis's performance, do you think that the Lakers are back to being favorites in the West, even though we saw them go through some tests the last few weeks?
No.
Oh.
And I will say this, Chinee, is... I appreciate what they're doing. Like, you can spin it if you want to and say that LeBron James is ducking the Knicks. But in reality, why would LeBron want to go out there against a team like that that's actually going to play hard and create chaos on the defensive end here? Like, that's not what we're here. For who? For what right now? For LeBron James. The plan needs to be this. Like, what we need to expect from LeBron James down the stretch of the season is nothing. Go out on the court, stay healthy, and let Anthony Davis keep doing what he's doing for these last few games. Like, maybe if something good happens, Portland's got a tough stretch down the end of the season, you can get away with them losing a few games and maybe sneak back out of the play-in. But your fate is kind of sealed at this point. So stay healthy. Let Anthony Davis keep doing what he did for so many years in New Orleans and then get to the postseason and hopefully sort it out there with like LeBron James, who's still probably going to be far less than 100% even outside of what he's been telling us, Chinee. So there's no expectation, but
no,
that can't
Junior,
be the favorite right now.
You said you want LeBron James to go out there and do nothing. I want him to go and do everything. I want him to choose violence just like Anthony Davis did, dropping 40 pieces and looking like a man amongst boys. And the reason is because, I mean, this is wide open. The NBA this year is wide open. A number of stars have not been together. We keep talking about this lucky number 7 in Brooklyn where the big three has only played 7 games. Well, guess what? This Los Angeles Lakers team just won a championship not too long ago. They have the pieces, but they're going to have to turn it on. They're going to have to flip the switch. Yeah, switch. They're going to have to flip the switch and turn it on if they're going to be able to recreate some of that history that we found in 2020. So I think the go time is now. I was looking, and you heard this in the break, Junior. One of my friends, Lexi Brown, plays for the Chicago Sky now, retweeted Damian Lillard's stats, and it was all like 30s, 40s, and a few 23 points. Guys are figuring out, like, oh, I have to get myself right for the play-in, for the playoffs. And LeBron James has to be one of those. And we've always seen, like, even though we're talking about Russell Westbrook and the triple-doubles and him going crazy, like, LeBron James always goes crazy. It just is that sometimes he lets people lead, you know, with assists because he has to spread the love. But, like, this is go time for the Lakers. And if they find their stride these last few games, Junior, they could find themselves in the finals again.
Chinee Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Knicks-Lakers tonight. LeBron James not going to be on the court. And Chinee, my favorite part about LeBron James in the postseason is his level of understanding of what's needed and when. LeBron James going out here now, because you mentioned, yeah, they're probably going to be in the play-in, and that is going to net you a matchup against Golden State. But we've said, because of the structure of the play-in, you could even absorb a loss there and still have a chance to go out and make an in against a couple of teams that we think would be winnable games in there. LeBron James, in the first game of almost every meaningful postseason I've ever seen, goes in like a boxer, jabbing, probing, and trying to figure out what's going on over there. The easiest way for him to do that is to be deferential, to be the point guy we've always seen of him out of that spot, and to let Anthony Davis keep scoring the points. Like, that was in a different version where LeBron still had to be potent offensively, the way they won the finals last year was letting Anthony Davis be great.
Junior, I flip it on the other side. I think LeBron James knew that he had to show up and also have AD show up for them to win. And let's be real, like, the Miami Heat, they had an amazing year, but they don't have the necessary talent, I guess, in the top echelon with Joel Embiid and Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo's to sort of slow down a LeBron James and Anthony Davis. We know this year, whoever's going to make it to the finals is going to run into some dogs, especially coming out of the East. And Anthony Davis, even though it's been great to see him play and perform at a high level, like, LeBron James needs to be that guy. He was the guy that held it down at the start of the season, which had us in the MVP race, him being almost the oldest MVP in NBA history. Like, I guess we just have to see the world a little differently. Like, both of them have to eat and thrive and be beasts, because even if you're LeBron James, just doing that by yourself is not enough.
No, it's not enough. And one of the things that I think is underrated, thinking more and more about this, part of their championship run last year was the fact that we saw LeBron James, I think, recommitted to the defensive end of the court in a way that maybe had not been the case in prior years, where there had been a wax and wane of that. And this season, the Lakers, even when LeBron James and Anthony Davis were both out, remained the top team as far as defensive rating in the league for the large portion of this year. How they're able to help LeBron defensively, because this has been a guy that on his best days, even going back to last year, was able to strap up the opposing team's best player. On a bad high ankle, I don't know if that's the end of the court I want LeBron expending energy on. And so we always talk about, how do you fit this guy? How do you fit him into the defensive game plan on a team that can rely on Anthony Davis in a way that I think mitigates that?
My doctor eye said that LeBron James looked really good in Zuri's TikTok. So
that is true. You know what? I feel like, Chanae, we're going to do with that TikTok. LeBron James' daughter, Zuri, put out a TikTok where I guess LeBron was dancing in it. This is like Kevin Durant warming up before that Warriors game, doing that dance where we're all like, oh, look at how spry his Achilles looks. He's going to be great.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be just fine.
There we go. So TikTok analysis for LeBron James' injured ankle from Dr. Chanae as we get ready for this matchup tonight. But we have this matchup, Knicks and Lakers tonight, with no LeBron. How much and how meaningful should this still be for the team in New York that is enjoying a season unlike any other in their recent history? And how much does perception change reality when it comes to one of the biggest records in sports that just got eclipsed? We'll get to that next. Chanae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
What is the likelihood we'll see LeBron against the Knicks?
I'm told that it's likely he plays against New York in L.A.
James has been out for most of the last 2 months with right ankle issue.
Likely he plays against the Knicks. Wait, hold on. Hold my beer. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chanae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. And we are watching National Geographic right now on ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Shout out to our TV team that are really showing up and showing out each and every day, showing us LA Scenics. We've got Arizona Scenics. We've always had Bristol, but we have to go to New York, because we've got Monica McNutt, our own ESPN basketball analyst, and also co-host of Primetime on ESPN Radio, joining us here on Chanae and Golic Jr. And Monica, you know, we were breaking down LeBron James. Now he's likely to play tomorrow against the Houston Rockets, but we have to start with your Knicks. So do you think he just didn't want the smoke with the Knicks, or do you think that this was just a better play, him coming back against probably the league's worst team?
This is why I know you, my sis. What's up, Golic, by the way? Because I totally was going to ask y'all. So you think people will at me that I'm tripping if I say Bron was scared of that Knicks defense?
Don't tweet that.
Not scared.
Don't tweet it, sis.
Don't tweet it?
You don't want
let it fly.
LA people.
All right.
Let it fly. Do it.
I don't think that this is a coincidence. I'll put it that way. I think that there's something legit to it. And obviously we know that Houston has struggled a little bit this season. Here's the thing. to me, the understatement, this is another element of, we got to trust LeBron that he knows his process and he knows his body, right? He's 36. He's 36 with his ankle sprain. He knows that he probably won't be 100% this year. I do think that as a unit, this team needs reps, but I'm not going to overblow the issue of continuity because LeBron is a straight up playmaker. Just get to the basketball spots that you learned in third grade and let him do his thing. You know what I mean? Especially with the way that Anthony Davis is playing ball right now. So he needs to get these reps in. This team is going to the play-in. I still like them over the Warriors if it holds that way, and I'm not concerned. I think they'll get back to it in time by the first round.
So, Monica, I want to hit to the other side of this because you are an analyst over at MSG. You do a lot of great work covering this Knicks team. And Brian Windhorst came on and said that win over the Clippers was their biggest win in the last 7-8 years. Even if LeBron's not on the court and they beat the Clippers and LA in a week's time, is this on that level? How much does tonight matter for a Knicks team building something?
Well, they have the opportunity to clinch the playoffs, which is the biggest part of tonight. But even if it doesn't go their way, I'm not particularly alarmed. Like, I mean, when they left to go out on this West Coast road trip, they were riding high. They had caught a couple of L's at home, but they, for the most part, have been on a really terrific run over the course of April. And so I remember having this conversation. You know, if they go 2-4, if they go 3-3, like on this West Coast road trip, it's not the end of the world. You get that win over the Clippers. It looks fantastic. They beat the Grizzlies. They beat the Rockets. They lost to a very, very good Suns team, right? And then they lost to a very, very good Nuggets team. And you know the rigmarole of playing away from home, particularly on a multi-game road trip. So I'm not going to be wildly alarmed. I do want to know how they play in this ballgame. If they kind of mail it in early and maybe the road trip starts to get to them, then I think we all wash that away. But even if they're competing and it's a 5-point ball game, I'm not sure where Vegas has it at right now, but if it's a 5-point ball game down the stretch, but you've gotten production from all of your guys, like the secret sauce on that Clippers win, if I could just rewind, is that Julius didn't necessarily have a monster game, right? Like he struggled a little bit in that ball game. And I think he might've finished in the 20s, but he didn't put up like 36 or nothing crazy. You got production from other guys, namely Derrick Rose, who continues to have a banner year and give us some of that vintage D Rose.
Look, I love this. Monica McNutt joining us here on Chanae Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio, basketball analyst. You guys know she played at Georgetown. She's a fellow Hooper, DMV native, always showing up and showing out. Now, Monica, I love what you just said about Julius Randle because I think he's realized what time it is. Meaning, all right, he's been an all-star. People are putting his name in the MVP conversation. He's got a few games left. He wants to be ready for the playoffs. And realistically speaking, Monica, right now the Knicks are at 4. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that is probably overachieving, or do you think that this is a team that really can make a run come postseason?
Can two things be true, or y'all gonna make me pick one of those?
No, this is ESPN. You have to pick.
Okay, look, but here's the deal. I think both things are true. I think that this team has clearly overachieved and exceeded expectations. It's wild to me that our network was having the conversation that if they don't win a first round, is it a failure? Are you kidding me? Like, Bama's had this team win in less than 30 games. Like, stop it. Give me a break. Second, though, I do think that this is a team that still can win in that first round. Was that the second part of the question, Janae? I got fired up. Was that the second part?
Yeah, like what do you think? Can this team actually take down another team in the playoffs? Do you think that this is a team to be feared?
Yes, I do. I do, because their defense is not a fluke, right? Like if we're going to talk about a team that is top three in terms of defensive presence over the course of the year, the best team against the three, the best team against the field, the same sort of way that we have praised this sort of, now I'm not saying it's apples to apples, but if we can say that the Jazz are efficient on both sides of the ball and we held them for what they're able to do defensively, this defense is legit. And we've seen that from this Knicks squad. If they match up against Atlanta in the first round, give me Knicks to the second round. Like I'm good on that. They're going to bully Trey. They're going to bully Trey Young around.
That's not fair.
You know what I mean?
How nice.
Listen, I'm just saying, I'm giving you the standings as they are. I'm going with what we're working with.
She's letting them know the facts, Janae. Facts only around here on ESPN Radio, talking to Monica McNutt. And so I'm with you. I think this Knicks team, the DNA seems to be moving in the positive direction for them in this postseason. It is. It's all gravy at this point with this particular group. What about, we mentioned the DMV roots, what we saw from Russell Westbrook last night. He passes and joins now the all-time record for triple-doubles in the NBA. Monica, it feels like we don't always know how to talk about this record because we've got so many stats in basketball now we think can better quantify production than just slapping the triple-double on it. But for you, what does Russell Westbrook taking over the all-time marker for triple-doubles in NBA history mean to you?
I think it will be an absolute measurement of his effort, right? Even if you want to be in the camp that triple-doubles come too easy, they were empty stats, I got heat for you, but we're not going to deal with those people right now. it's still a measurement of his effort, and I don't care what you say. There are not, let me think off the top of my dome. for me, I would give Russ the best motor in the league consistently, right? Yep. Like, this man has had 18 triple-doubles in the last 21 games. That wasn't like two triple-doubles a month. This is consistently. He leaves it all out on the floor. And sure, could you pick apart his game? Is he the best shooter? No. But you will not say that he's not going to play hard on both ends of the floor. And so for me, when I think of the modern-day triple-double, because I understand that when Oscar notched this mark, they didn't even necessarily track it the way that we are right now. To me, this is an absolute measurement of energy, and nobody is going to out-energize Russell Westbrook. Excuse me.
Yeah, modern-day triple-double is a little different. It gives you a dribble and another dribble, but nonetheless, it is a measurement of energy.
Fair.
Monica McNutt joining us here on ESPN Radio, Chinay Ngolo Jr. And before we let you go, I just have to figure out whether you think the situation between Kent Bazemore and, speaking of Russell Westbrook, his teammate, Bradley Beal, is this fair or foul, what we saw that exchange happening, talking about, well, my guy, Steph, you know, he does this naturally in 29 minutes. Meanwhile, your guy pulls hamstring trying to do it. Was that foul, or do you think this is now hopefully water under the bridge and we can move on?
I definitely hope it's water under the bridge, probably for everybody except Kamaya Adams-Beal, who is about that smoke when it comes to her man.
Facts.
But I mean, listen, we've all gassed our friends up, cracked a little joke. Maybe on the back end we were like, eh. But it was a joke, right? Like, I know I have done that. I do think I would have liked a very succinct clap back from Brad. Like, there's a reason that you're still healthy because you could never, you know, something real smart, ooh, real slick, right? But I don't mind Brad calling this dude out. Like, I know you talk about me, you can at me. Like, I don't mind that either. But I think, again, similar, my teams, right? My Knicks, my Wizards, when you're sort of going after respect, right? Like, you can't put too much into pots like this. You know what I'm saying? Just get healthy. Get back out there. Let's see what you got in the play-in.
My Knicks, my Wizards, started from the bottom. Now we're here. Look at you, Monica.
There is a God. Yes!
Won't he do it right now? If you want to check out those Wizards, by the way, Russ and the Wizards are going to be at Trae Young and the Hawks Wednesday on ESPN Radio. Coverage of that starting at 6:30 Eastern. So you can check out and see who really wants the smoke as we go down this home stretch of the NBA season. Check her out. You see her on Around the Horn all the time. Does a great job covering the Knicks over for MSG. Monica McNutt, our ESPN basketball analyst, kind
Thanks,
enough
y'all.
To hang out with us. Thanks, Mon. Oh, I guess she's gone now. Thanks for joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. You can also check her out as a part of Game Night on ESPN Radio. Coming up next, though, why I am so thrilled. I asked and I pleaded with people in one city with one NFL franchise who had a chance to step over the line and become great in a way no other team possibly could. And that cry was heard. The greatest addition to an NFL stadium I have ever seen. Next, here on Chinay Ngolo Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Chinay Ngolo Jr., the podcast.
Before we get to keep that same energy, I have a question for Junior. Even though I think you might have talked about it, it's Chinay Ngolo Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN+. Chinay Ogwumike and Mike Golick Jr. holding it down here. Now, we had amazing guests today, per usual, and a lot of the conversation was NBA, but we had Brendan Haywood, NBA TV analyst, joining us, also host of the Opinionated Seven Footers, join us earlier. Marcus Spears, and I'm saying he's an NBA guest because his wife played in the WNBA, and he's a hooper at heart, our own ESPN NFL analyst. You see him on NFL Live. And of course, Monica McNutt just joined us, ESPN basketball analyst. Break down everything that's happening in the NBA, even the beefs. And I'm glad, like, water under the bridge, per Monica. Like, that Bradley Beal, Kent Bazemore didn't make us feel good, even though it did give us something to talk about. But, Junior, my question is, I know you started the show saying, what is the worst text message you've ever received? Did you answer that yourself?
So I said, Chinay, and this is a conversation we had off air that I don't think we got on air in the ways that I wanted to, but the worst text, but just, I got a text earlier today from someone that said, call me when you get a minute, period. No other explanation. And when I assume that someone is bringing that kind of energy to the conversation, I feel like I have done something wrong or I have bad news coming. So for me, any thing that says, call me, like, that's a level and a step beyond the conversation that I'm not ready for.
Yeah, I also get nervous when I see, like, we need to talk. And then if there's, like, an ASAP, it's like, oh, ooh. But, yeah, and then you start making up excuses in your head. But I was just wondering. Okay, that's tough.
No, it's good. Anything there, like a single response, the letter K, something like that.
Oh, the letter K is the worst. Like, don't ever, ever text anyone the letter K. Like, that should be out. Even if you're saying, just put the O. How hard is it to add another letter?
Like, it's not okay. hard. Do something. And by the way, those little responses where you can put like the thumbs up or the exclamation mark, those are an accent to the comment. They're a garnish. They are not a response in and of themselves. And so if you're in a conversation, you got to give me the text back. It can't just be the little ding and the haptic.
Oh, I do that all the time. I text straight emojis. So
emojis are fine. Those responses, a little bit different. That's not necessarily the energy that we want to keep around here on this show. And so we're going to try and improve that going forward and keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Goldie Jr.
Junior, I would like to tell you that our board op and producer Cliff tried to text me a K and proceeded to mess up and texted an I and then had to correct it and put a K with an asterisk. So there you go, Cliff.
Man, you know what? People try their best and sometimes they found out that gets swatted back into the student section. It's game week right now.
Blame autocorrect. Blame autocorrect.
Well, like I say, man, you gotta pull the thumb, not point the finger here, Cliff.
How do you autocorrect one letter, bro?
I'm going to say, you can't point at Steve Jobs on that one. That's on you in this spot. Just like we got to own up to what we say here. Kent Bazemore had some words for Bradley Beal, Washington Wizards guard who's in the scoring race with Steph Curry right now. Bradley Beal got to go on First Take and give his response to this situation with Molly Max and Stephen A. Take a listen.
What's your reaction to him more recently saying, Bradley, that he's just joking around? He said, we got guys hurting hamstrings trying to keep up. Talk to me.
I didn't like that. I didn't like the last part of the comment. The first half of it about what Steph was doing was, I'm with you. 49 and 29 minutes is, I think everybody in here can agree that that's remarkable and truly amazing, right? So nobody's arguing that. But I didn't mention you. My hamstrings have nothing to do with why I go out there and play the game. And for me to injure my hamstring and then you kind of make a joke about it, I don't take that too fondly, honestly, because I take pride in being somebody who my first 4 years, I was always labeled as an injury prone guy. I was always labeled as somebody who couldn't stay on the floor. So I take pride in my body. I take pride in being on the floor and being available for my team. And giving my team the best chance to win. My main focus is getting us to the playoffs, and that's all I'm focused on. And so that was just all I was just trying to kind of get my point across. So just keep your situation over there. Let's just keep it hoops. Don't make fun of something that's not funny.
Janae, that sounds like every great insult has a little too much truth in it for the person on the receiving end. And it sounded like Brad Beal had a little bit too much truth in that.
Yeah, it did. But still, it's like, why are you talking about him, Kent, when he's Bradley Beal? Like, 31.4 versus 31.9, that man is still putting in work. And I do like how he was like, it's the morning time, it's the day after, let me keep it classy. Meanwhile, the topic bar, you were lame! You were lame for that! That's what he really meant to say.
You say violence at night and calm in the morning. Woosah, woosah. Keeping that same energy though, Chiney, this is I've been asking. Ever since the Las Vegas Raiders announced the move to Vegas, I said you have an opportunity to lean into what makes that city great. Throw a Vegas buffet in the corner of that, put a craps table in the stadium, or you can do like they're doing right now at Allegiant Stadium's Winfield Club Lounge. Las Vegas, they're going to have a DJ experience, bottle service at these field level booths, Janae, and I am all about making the Las Vegas Raiders experience a true Vegas experience.
This is what you love. Will you even be watching the game? Probably not, but that's a win for both parties involved. And you're right, Junior, it is courtside because it looks like one of those courtside clubs, but now it's come to the field.
I need air to breathe, Chiney. I need a football and errant pass to go and hit somebody holding an expensive bottle in there, shatter that thing, and really get the party started. Now, keeping that same energy, we want to give some love to some coworkers before we close this out with a plea. Both Marty Smith and Chris Berman, two of our great colleagues here at ESPN, signed extensions to stay with the company. Chiney, very excited, and congratulations deserve to both of them on such a great, great, well-achieved honor.
Yeah, I love it. Marty being able to talk to him here and Chris Berman, I mean, being one of the testaments of our company, it's just great to see longevity there. So, yes, this makes me feel very good.
It does. Now, this is our plea at the very end here.
Okay.
We have breaking news, according to GameSpot on Twitter, that Nickelodeon's iconic game show, Legends of the Hidden Temple, is getting a reboot, but this time it's strictly for adult players. Chiney, we are ready to go. You and I are going to be Blue Barracudas. We are going to head into the Shrine of the Silver Monkey, and I am going to punch a temple guard straight in the face if they try anything.
Yeah, I'm going to be nervous, but I'll be there right behind you.
This is what we were born for. This is what this show is ready for. So Nickelodeon, call us. Let us know what's going on. We are ready to go out here and do the damn thing and represent ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz, you ready to join us up next?
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.